Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the latest episode. This will be the Friday morning episode. It'll go out on Thursday evening if you're an IFS subscriber, which of course you should be. If you're not, why not? And we're doing this remotely, as we quite often do. I'm in my, box room. Studio, you're in your rig down there in London, Sam. But you appear to be, lying on your bed.
That's right, mate. Because today I took delivery less than 10 minutes before we began this record.
Yeah,
I arrived home to find hidden by the delivery man behind my garden recycling bin out front.
Yep.
One of the most important deliveries I've had in many a month.
Fucking
hell. A purchase that I am hoping will change my life.
What is it?
Oh. This is a breakfast tray. With legs.
Right.
That I have, obviously, like any man, Andy, man or woman, I have always, my whole life, dreamt of owning the sort of tray that has legs that you can have breakfast on bed bed in, right? And then when I rig upstairs to podcast with you, I have to sit at quite a small desk on just a small stool. Right. And I have very bad lower back pain at the moment anyway. Okay. It's been plaguing me for months, right? Mm-hmm. And it makes it much worse because, I'm a big lad and I have to lean over downwards. So I'm tall. I have to lean from this stool towards my... And it just makes it that worse. And I thought, what I would love to do is rig up in such a way that I could podcast from the comfort of my bed. And that dream is becoming a reality as we speak.
With the tray.
I bought the tray. It was less than £20. There was more expensive ones. But I thought, this is just a test, right? Mm-hmm. I'll test the water. So I got one. It's made of bamboo, so as I understand it, that makes it environmental too, which, of course, is very important these days, right? And what I've done is, as well,
when you're done with it, you can just burn it in the garden, can't you? And it gets released back into the atmosphere.
Exactly. I may burn it in case I decide to. If this is a success, I may then take the plunge and invest in one that is more sturdy and robust, in which case I'll obviously set fire to this.
Set fire to that one, yeah.
Yeah. I will quickly show you. This is of no use to the people listening.
No,
but just so you can see my POV.
Wow.
Can you see that? Can you see my feet?
I can.
And you can see the microphone.
There's the microphone.
And as you can see, I've got it for audio purposes, for acoustic purposes, I have it rested on my copy of Roy the Rovers. So just that's to give it a little, make sure the bass is okay.
And are you at the same distance from the microphone as you normally would be on your little stool?
I've got into a good position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very confident about the sound. But
how's
we'll have
back?
To see.
How's your back?
Oh, it just feels great, mate. Mm. And this, let me tell you, this will improve the quality of the podcast too, because it will mean that I am in a relaxed state, right? Yeah. I'm in comfort. I feel like the Emperor, when the Emperor, as we've talked about a lot recently, is rigged up post-death to that crane in The Rise of Skywalker. I could work out a way now I've got this breakfast tray, mate. Mm. I could fucking never leave this bed. I'm a freelancer. I can write. I can broadcast. I can do my emails and my admin. I don't have to get out of bed anymore. I've got my laptop here. I've got my microphone. I've got my tripod with my iPod on. I see myself gaining a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. A lot of weight. I see myself ballooning.
It's gone over.
Our mutual friend Dave Whitehouse.
Yeah.
He wrote his first novel was bed, and it was about a geezer that stays in bed for so long that he becomes the fattest man in the world.
Yeah, that's going to be a blueprint, is it?
It always has been. Since Dave wrote that book, I read it, and I just thought, that's for me. It paints a picture of a wonderful lifestyle.
Let's give it a big recommendation. Great book.
Yeah, go and buy it, dickheads. Right. Features.
Before we go any further, can I just raise a small concern that I've got?
Yeah.
I'm thinking possibly too relaxed, Sam. I'm thinking possibly complacency.
Yeah, I thought you might worry about that.
Because you do look very pleased with yourself right now.
Well, you've got to understand, this is still the early days. This is like the first... It's like how you feel in the early days of a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I've only had this in my possession for, like, 15 minutes or something.
And you feel as if you're floating on air almost.
I just feel so happy. I mean, I've always wanted one since I was a kid.
That position that you're in as well, that you're lying in, sort of sitting lying... Is it not a position where you can start to sort of slide down as the episode goes on and it becomes a bit uncomfortable and you need to pull yourself up?
I'll become closer and closer to the mic as I slide. Yeah. No, it's quite good. I'm wearing a pair of trousers that have a sufficient amount of traction in the fabric that I don't think my arse is going to slide against my eiderdown, which I'm lying on.
You've got good purchase.
Let me tell you, mate. It won't be long before you witness me under the covers.
God.
Like, I may one week, you may switch on. You never know what you're going to see when you answer my WhatsApp video call. And you're going to press answer and you're going to see old Delaney with the duvet and eiderdown pulled right up to his chin with my wee willy winky nightcap on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Evening, Andy. I'm just getting ready for bed. But we can knock out one more Roy the Rovers podcast before I nod off.
And indeed we do knock them out. I wonder whether there's scope for some kind of video option for the IFS.
Where you to can see video me in my rig.
Set a camera up and watch you in your rig.
I'm very proud of my rig and I'd be happy to charge them. Get in touch if you want to pay, if you want to do an extra tier and pay an extra pound a month to see me in my rig, then fine.
It's a fine line between that and you being what I believe is called a webcam sex woman.
Yeah.
Same thing, really, isn't it? People pay to see you in your boudoir.
It would start off with just watching me podcast, and then I'd become so addicted to both the attention and the cash. People would start sending me things going, we've enjoyed watching your podcast. Could we, is it possible if we paid an extra pound, we could watch you play with your genitals? And I'd be like...
For another pound?
Yeah, okay, if the market's out there and, I'm going to say if I could build that tier up to like 1,000 people a month, then it's worth considering, yeah. Yeah,
definitely, top flight wank machine.
Oh, talking of that, have you heard about Tyson Fury?
Oh, yeah, I didn't want to cover it because it's just...
No, it's pure art, isn't it?
You know what I mean? I just saw so many responses to it. Oh, he reckons he's wanking 7 times a day.
More important... Okay, I tell you what's more interesting than that, right? Because, funnily enough, my wife said, oh, this is a good thing for you to talk about on Top of the Time Machine. And do you know what I did, Andy? I became a bit precious about the podcast. I went, what do you mean, talk about... That is... What do you think we are? A bunch of wank joke merchants. There is something rather more nuanced about the humour employed by Mr. Dawson and myself than simply guffawing at a big ape man who wanks 7 times a day. Please, Anna, you clearly have never listened to the podcast and I am insulted. We are striving to keep the spirit of the great satirists alive, right? We are not doing wank jokes about a heavyweight boxing champion. So,
like so many others, you've fallen into the trap of believing this is nothing more than the dying remnants of the Lads Mag era, with its grotesquery, its sexism, and its buffoonery. We are nothing of those things.
No,
we're everything and more.
Quite the opposite.
Exactly.
Quite the opposite. But people, some people don't pick up on that.
You're listening to Andy Dawson and Sam Delaney, the hardest working cunts in podcasting.
what was far more interesting, the cunter who sent us a thing about the regime of another sports person, Cristiano Ronaldo, who explains that despite his age, because for a footballer he's getting on a bit, isn't he? He's in his mid-30s. Yeah. He still looks in such tip-top shape. And they've got a list of the reasons why that he puts it down to. And one of the ones that jumped out at me was the fact that he takes up to 5 90-minute naps a day.
Yes! We have a new king.
Yes. Yes! And you look at him in the picture next to it, and obviously he looks the absolute dog's bollocks. He's got the six-pack, the sort of sinewy muscle that we'd all like. None of us want to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger, do you? You want to have sinewy muscle.
You want to be lean, a lean.
And I think...
fighting machine. Yeah.
And I think you and I have, as men in our 40s, I think we've got lovely physiques. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, do you work out a lot? And I say, no, it just seems to be natural. But now we know why we have such sinewy physiques. It's because of our love of napping. Yeah.
5 90-minute naps a day, that is 7.5 hours of napping throughout the day. So how long does he sleep for? So he sleeps for 7 hours, and then he's napping for 7.5. That's 14.5 hours. He's only worked for 9.5 hours a day, the cunt.
Yeah,
and he does training and plays football during that.
Yeah, and he eats quite a lot as well, because he also lists the things he eats. He believes chicken to be a magic food.
Ooh, I wouldn't disagree with that. I've been in Nando's.
Apart from the chicken, his lifestyle, from reading this thing, apart from the chicken, his lifestyle's almost exactly the same as mine.
Right, let's have it.
Hang on, I haven't got it. We might have to talk about something else while I look this tweet up.
Oh, that's a shame.
To me. Yeah, sorry, you probably thought I was building up to actually reading it, but I wasn't.
Never mind. Pub numbers are up, apparently, for the first time in a decade.
That's nice.
The total numbers of pubs rose by 315 to 39,130, and they say this is driven by food sales. Oh. So pubs are more and more about going there for a bit of bait than they are to go there and get pissed up. So, I mean, that's good. We all love pubs, don't we?
Yeah, I think, you know, I still like going to pubs despite not being a drinker, and I think people need to remember that you don't have to. There are zealots in the sort of, you know, the recovery community, the old Alcoholics Anonymous, and they'll say you shouldn't go. You know what they say? There's a phrase that they use. They go, if you keep going to the barbers, eventually you're going to get a haircut. That's what people say. I don't really know if that makes sense.
Or you could also say, if you go to a pub, you'll probably die.
That's or if you go to an under, if you keep walking into Undertakers, eventually you're going to have a funeral, and it's going to be yours.
You'll end up dead. Speaking of Undertakers and funerals, did you see on Channel 4 on Monday night Catching a Killer? It was a 90-minute special about the investigation into the death of two pensioners in a very, very small village. And it was the one of the fellas who was training to be a vicar in the village,
right?
And it's a tale of manipulation and lies and murder,
deceit.
Obviously, right. Deceit, murder, and his MO was to get them to change their wills so he would get the house from each of them, and they both died. And one of them, the first victim, when it came to light, the first victim had to be exhumed, and then they took hair samples and all this sort of thing. Ugh.
Yeah.
So that you saw a bit of footage of that. But you didn't see anything horrific, but fucking great bit of telly if you're into that sort of thing.
No, I hate murder.
All murder. It wasn't about the murder, it was about the investigation.
Yeah, but it's got murder at its heart, hasn't it?
Do you not like the idea of the murderer being caught?
I do like that. I like justice to be done.
Yeah, but you just don't like the murder bit.
I don't like thinking about the murderers. I don't like to be reminded that we are surrounded by murderers.
Well, you are, where you live. You've still got that murder thing going on. It's murder central around yours.
Well, there's been one murder and they've caught him. Or at least they've caught someone. I don't know whether it will turn out to be the right guy.
I'll not recommend it to you, then I'll recommend it to the listeners.
Yeah.
Catching a Killer. It's on Channel 4 Catch Up and it's brilliant. There you go.
I've got Cristiano Ronaldo's fitness secrets here. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. One, eat 6 small meals per day.
Ooh, he's a nibbler. He's a grazer.
Two. Sees chicken as a magical food. I think he worships it. Three. Takes 5 90-minute naps per day.
Fuck off. That's bollocks.
Yeah. Four. Has breakfasts of, ready for his breakfast.
Yeah.
Cheese, ham, yogurt, and avocado on toast.
Well, that's a continental breakfast pretty much, isn't it? That's Europeans for you.
They love it. They love cheese and ham.
We'll lose all that after Brexit, won't we?
Five. Eats whole grain, fresh fruit, and fish. Never frozen. Never frozen fish.
Right. So he's eating chicken and fish. Does he worship the fish as much as he worships the chicken or not?
That doesn't say what his attitude does spiritually towards it. Six. Has salad with most meals. That sounds like health advice from the 70s to me. Do you know what I mean?
Fucking sliced boiled egg.
Yeah.
Some tomatoes.
This kid's... This is a cucumber. I know, stop laughing. I know it looks funny, but what you do is you slice it up and you cover it in a bit of vinegar. And it I'm not going to lie, it doesn't taste nice at all. But if you have that with a bit of tomato and some sliced boiled egg, then you'll grow to be just like Rodney Marsh.
In fact, it's actually 85% water, so I don't know what the point of it is at all.
Jalapeño.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
I'm sure we've discussed it lots of times before, but the way that Robbie Williams' wife claimed that he'd never seen a whole cucumber before.
I don't remember that, saw it
lying around in the kitchen. Yeah, she was asked in an interview, when you first got together with Robbie, what was the weirdest thing about living with him? And she said, well, he'd been famous for so many years that he had been cosseted from the real world. And so there was strange things that he was just unaware of, strange, normal stuff that he hadn't seen. And they said, like what? And she said, one day he came home and I'd done some shopping at the supermarket. And of course, he'd just never really done shopping at the supermarket before. He just ate all his meals were cooked for him or in restaurants. And all the food was laid out on the counter in the kitchen. And there was a cucumber and he went, what the fuck is that? And he started freaking out and screaming. And she said, it's a cucumber. And he went, that's not a fucking cucumber. Cucumbers are small and round and thin. And they went, she went, no, this is what it looks like before it's been chopped up for you, you cunt.
So before he became famous, and take that, before this cucumber embargo, if you like, came into force, but was he not aware of cucumbers? Already forgotten what a cucumber was?
I think... I imagine growing up in Stoke in the 80s, he would have been exposed to cucumber.
Definitely,
in the way we were just talking about
in
it, when people
form.
Offered him in the natural form. And then I think that it was such a roller coaster ride. I think he joined Take That when he was about 16.
Yeah.
And it was such a roller coaster ride. And along the way, he abused, as he's been very honest about, a lot of substances.
A lot of drugs,
And his mind would have become filled up with so many different experiences.
And drug
tablets.
That
in the end, the notion of a whole cucumber would have just faded amidst all the other stuff. It would have got suffocated out. Do you know what I mean?
That would have
just been squashed.
It's scientifically proven that we've only got enough room for so many memories.
Yeah.
And every time you learn something new, something gets shunted out the back end, doesn't it? Something
and
you thought you knew.
Somewhere, maybe at that famous weekend at Glastonbury when he hung out with Oasis in the 90s, something happened during that weekend where there was an exact moment you could pinpoint where the memory of a whole cucumber exited his mind.
Maybe something happened with a cucumber over that weekend and he's been doing that thing where you block out... traumatic incidents. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be that, couldn't
maybe,
it?
Maybe Liam shoved one where it shouldn't have gone.
If you're listening, Robbie, and you want to give us a call, come on Top Flight Time Machine and, you know, we'll talk through it with you because, you know, we're here to help.
Cristiano's final health tip is no red meat or fizzy drinks, which, again, sounds like his health tips have run out of steam a bit by that point. It's like you're half expecting the list carried on. The last one would be, and no fags. No fags.
Yeah.
Brackets apart from weekends. Apart from football days. That's different.
And that is basically his secret of his success and his appearance is all down to
but
that.
But the one that jumps out is obviously the five naps a day. And that says the person who tweeted us, let me just check who it was. It was Paul Gallagher, PG Tweets. And he just wrote to us on the Top Flight Time Machine account, can you spot his secret? And it was clear which one he was talking about.
Yeah. And of course, Liam Gallagher's brother's called Paul Gallagher as well. So it all comes full circle yet again.
Yeah. 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 So there you go.
All right.
Amazing times.
I mean, while I was filling in there, while you were looking for that, I just went on BBC News to see what was being talked about and what was, you know, most read. Yeah. Are we interested in Sandy Toksvig leaving Great British Bake Off? Do we have any interest in that?
Well, I mean, I've never seen it, and I didn't even see it in its original incarnation, let alone with her on it. But what's her game?
She's just off. She's just had enough, I think.
She doesn't like it.
She can do other stuff.
Maybe that fucking clown who she has to do it with, she's got enough of him. She's had him up to her back teeth.
Oh, the Harlequin? The comedy Harlequin?
Yeah,
him. Fielding,
she's like, fuck this. I'm sick of this fucking art school nonsense.
Do you think he keeps jumping out from behind the cupboards and stuff like that and behind the
saying she's
the
like,
benches?
Oh, dolphins are weird, aren't they? Yeah. They are though, aren't they? Dolphins. I mean, what are they up to? Swimming around in the ocean.
Very good. It's a very accurate North Fielding impersonation.
Imagine if there was a dolphin that was a goth.
Yeah, it's probably that then. We'll move on from that. Should we do some football predictions? Because the weekend's coming up, and that's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
Here we go. I'll go first, if you like.
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, all right. First match is Newcastle versus Chelsea. Nah, I think this is going to be 1-1, and I don't think Frank Lampard's going to enjoy his spell in the North East very much. It'll be all kind of like, I don't like to go to the North East! Especially in January, because none of them wear jackets, and I find it very disconcerting.
And the ladies have no respect for themselves.
Falling down in the street.
I was on the way back to my hotel. It's simply unladylike. Christine Bleakley would never go out dressed like that, especially not in these conditions. It's a health risk. She could come back with a sniffle and pass that on to our lovely children.
Yeah, so he'll be in luck beyond top of his game, I don't think. So 1-1.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a good prediction, that. I don't want to mirror you.
You mirror me if you want to. You just go with what you think's going to happen.
Yeah, but I would literally be copying you. So I'm going to go with my first instinct, which is Newcastle 1, Chelsea 2.
That's good as well. I like that one. Okay.
But Newcastle are on good form at the moment, aren't they?
They are,
and
but
Chelsea are not.
They've got a lot of injuries. Steve Bruce is starting to roll out the excuses that he's used at all of the other clubs he's been at. He's very good at excuses, is Steve Bruce, and it's starting to happen now.
Well, I think it's a good policy as a manager, because as a manager, you're really in a lose-lose-lose situation, right? Mm. Things are always going to go wrong. You have to get your excuses in early, because people are always going to point the finger of blame at you. Everyone is, the players, the fans and the board.
Yeah.
You're going to get scapegoated, and it is relentless. And even if you win 6 games 3-0 on the trot, right?
Mm.
If you lose the next one, 3-0, the seventh game, there will be people saying that you've lost it, that you're useless, that you're a chancer, that, you know, people will claim that they even knew when you were on that run that it was all built on sand. And that's it. And so you can, how do you manage that? That we've seen all different managers manage it different ways. And some of them just take the policy of, I'm going to fucking constantly get in there first with my excuses.
Yeah.
Because I know that people will turn on me, and if I start only making excuses once they've turned on me, it'll look somehow cheaper. and more contrived. So, you know, what else could you... I would like to think if I was a manager, I would just be brutally honest at all times about my own role and about just what was going on. If they go, you lost, why did you lose? I'd go, to be honest, I wasn't... I don't know, it's probably my fault. I didn't do enough research in the opposition, or I don't think I'm motivating the players. Or sometimes I'd go, it's because the players are fucking lazy. And, you know, that one's shagging that one's wife, and that one just wants to get away because he wants a new contract or something like that. I'd like to think I'd approach it that way, but who knows?
If you were a manager, do you think you would accept money from strangers on the internet to play with your genitals on the bench during a match of the day?
Yes.
You'd still do
because
that?
Because everything's got a price, so I'm not going to say no. Yeah. Because now I'm in a position to maybe consider doing it for a four-figure sum. Mm. If I was a Premier League manager... I would still, you know, money talks.
Yeah.
If it was a seven-figure sum, then, yeah, I'd be thinking about it, wouldn't I? I'd definitely be giving it strong consideration.
I think the FA would probably investigate it and bring some kind of rule in quite quickly, but...
Yeah, no. But what I'm thinking is, mate, wouldn't we do it in the... I say we, I'm not bringing you into it, but I'd probably do it in the way that spies communicate with their... What do you call them? Their puppet masters.
The handlers.
Yeah, they're handlers. They do taps on the table, don't they?
Yeah.
They do weird hand movements when they're on TV news to sort of send messages to their handlers. Things are still on track.
So you would do a discreet sort of genital touch.
The game would be that people would use the dark net to send me messages saying, this is what we want you to do at this minute of the game.
Yeah.
And then I would do it.
But you'd do it discreetly. You'd sort of brush your hand against your genitals almost.
It would be a discreet thing that you'd only notice it if you were looking out for it. Know what I mean? And that would make it all the more exciting because it would be a secret.
Because it's on the dark net, you know, the wider public don't know that's happening. And maybe it is happening already now. Maybe this thing that we've come up with is happening now and we don't know
about it. I'll tell you what else. Because I was going to say, it's like one of those secrets that no one else knows about, but because it's a secret that only two of you share, it's very titillating. Like, for instance, if someone, you know, would tell you that they're not wearing any underwear when you're out in public. Mm-hmm. And I would do that, for instance. I would take a fee in return for not wearing any underwear in public. In fact, I'm thinking, I wish I'd thought of this earlier, because... I am going on this morning, tomorrow. We're recording this on Thursday. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will be listening to this too late and they'll have missed my appearance on this
Not
morning.
Not the IFS, they'll get this Thursday evening.
Yeah. So if you're IFS, then you'll know that tomorrow is the big day where my 9-year ban from this morning for making light of a cat murder has been lifted. And I'll be appearing on the show tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen? But if you make me a cash offer, and you can deliver cash, you could meet me outside this morning studios tomorrow morning before I go in the door.
Yep,
I will go on this morning wearing no pants underneath my trousers.
You'll whip them off in the box.
I'll be wearing some slacks.
Yeah,
and underneath those slacks, I will be fully naked.
I'm almost tempted to pee, you know, myself.
And I will do this for 100 English pounds. That is my starting offer.
Imagine if... Who's it going to be? Is it Philip and Holly that will be on? Or is Friday Eamon and
It's Eamon. Eamon and Ruth, yeah.
Imagine if Eamon and Ruth are listening to this podcast tonight, if they're IFS subscribers, and they call you out on this live on
air.
They
are. Well, fine.
Well, we'll find out,
won't
we?
They call me out on it. Yeah. I'll front it up.
You get up on the jeopardy, don't you, Sam?
A little bird tells me that you're hiding a little secret from us and the viewers this morning. So you are. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, Eamon. You know as well as I do that
Play the clip.
You're not wearing any panties underneath your slacks. There, come on now, tell me true, because you know the public have got a right to know. And then I'd go, yeah, all right, yeah, it's true.
Fair
I've got
enough.
Nothing on under there. I'm fucking right, I'm swinging free.
I'm not breaking any broadcasting guidelines.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference to you or Ruth. Do you know what I mean? All the viewers at home. In fact, you're the one who's brought it up. And actually, now you've put the thought in everyone's head and it can be upsetting to a lot of people watching. Ignorance is bliss, Eamon.
There's nothing wrong with it either. So anyway,
apparently John Craven used to do it on TVAM every day for 5 years,
but never on News Round because that was for the kiddies.
No.
Brighton versus Aston Villa, Sam.
Brighton versus Aston Villa. Oh, I think Brighton are going to win this 2-0.
2-0 to Brighton.
Yeah.
Of course, Graham Potter, who was recently given a 6-year contract extension, wasn't he? Even though he's on the same kind of points per game ratio as Chris Hughton was last season.
Lovely he's stuff. I assume he'll have downed tools now. I mean, that's certainly what I would do if I got a 6-year contract for anything.
While we're also talking about managers with overlong contracts, that reminds me of the retweet that I did this morning about Alan Pardew. It was from the Sport Witness account, and it said, "De Telegraaf," the Dutch sports paper, because, of course, Pardew's managing over there now. Where is it? Is it in Den Haag or somewhere like that where he's managing?
Weird decision.
It said he was described in the Telegraph newspaper today as the 58-year-old narcissist from Wimbledon.
No!
Magical. Right,
that's harsh, isn't it?
Brighton 1, Villa 0, I'm going to go for. Okay. Liverpool versus Manchester United. 3-1 to Liverpool.
Good prediction. I'm going to say 2-0 to Liverpool.
2-0 to Liverpool. Okay. MK Dons versus Sunderland. You can go first.
I've got no idea what MK Dons' form is.
Neither have I.
Do know Sunderland's form is decent. So I'll say MK Dons 0, Sunderland 1.
I will say MK Dons 0, Sunderland 2.
Oh, fucking hell, it's gone to your head.
Onwards to West Ham versus Everton. David Moyes returning back to his former stomping ground. If you like, I will say this will finish 1-1. Sorry.
Wish I didn't have to predict this.
You do, though. It's part of the rules.
I'm going to say it's going to finish 2-1 to West Ham.
Another victory for West Ham predicted there by Sam Delaney.
I know. I don't want to do it. I just can't help it. I don't actually think we're going to win 2-1. I think we're going to lose.
Your heart rules your head every time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And lastly, Millwall versus Reading. I will go for... I'm going to go 1-0 to Millwall.
Fucking hell. I hate predicting Millwall to win, but I'm going to have to do 2-0
Millwall. 2-0
Millwall.
All right, there we are. The predictions are, of course, as always now, locked in. There we are. That's all we've got time for. We still haven't got time to do the John Timbrell update. That's 4 episodes now, I think, we've done without getting around to it.
Well, we've just got so much content. And also, there was no way that you or I could have prepared for the arrival of this bamboo breakfast table.
I didn't expect that coming. I didn't expect Ronaldo's naps, and I didn't expect you to be going on this morning on Friday with your bollocks swinging about in your slacks. But here we are.
Well, that's not happening unless you somehow get that money wired to me between now and 8:30 tomorrow. I'm just going to leave you real quick because I kept this specially to read out. Mm-hmm. It's the instructions I got with the bamboo table breakfast set tray. Features: side handles for easy and convenient mobility. Legs can be folded so it can be used as a table or serving tray. Mm-hmm. Folded legs are also ideal for easy storage.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.